Good morning, Seattle. Good morning, Club Uzite folk. Good morning to the people who are currently riding the bears of northern Saskatchewan. Good morning to the people of San Francisco and LA, and also good morning to the people of what? Riverside, California, as if I fucking care. It's Thursday, January the 14th, 2021. Fuck. Can you hear the ominous movement of time? Can you feel the movement of time like the caress of an old Taiwan hooker covered in genital crabs? Yes, indeed, it's fingers, it's magic fingers, like that old bed from Motel 6, you know, a quarter gets you a long way. Good morning. It's almost 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, but do you fucking care? So over Christmas, I got a bunch of free noodles. I don't want to say the manufacturer because I'm not really sure it matters. Not sure it matters who made those fucking noodles. What I can attest to based upon yesterday's crap is that they're 75% food grade wood pulp. Now, that by itself is only one little piece of information, but it's interesting. Yes, indeed, I think they're adding more sawdust to the noodles than they used to, but you know something? That's just good old-fashioned fiber. That's just gonna clean you out like the monkey person you are. You will clean out your insides with the biodigestible sawdust. You will go and wake up today and put on your mask and go to your clumbic job beating the slaves of Sector 4. I have spoken with my friend Mike about this and a little bit with Jim and others. You know, when I was in high school, what did they say? Go away to college. Go away to college. Leave home and go away. Go away, young man, young woman, young person. Leave the small town to us. Because small towns are bullshit, and whatever fucking happens while you're away, don't worry about it. Just go away to college because, you know, it'll be a better day. Yeah, that hometown ain't there no more, really. That hometown's gone. Didn't they tell you that? Back in the 80s, back in the 90s, back in the early aughts, didn't they say, leave the small town to us? Leave the small town behind you. Go to college. Get into debt because everything's going to work out okay. Believe in the system because the system believes in you. But leave the small town, leave your family, leave your friends, leave those places you have great memories about so you can replace them with, well, God knows what, really. Replace them with what? Digital memories of playing games online? Oh no, replace them with your 500 Facebook friends, right? Or maybe your 1,200 Twitter followers. You were supposed to go away and leave the small town behind. I did that. I did that. I left the small town behind. I left Washington State a few times. I left Mount Vernon long ago. And of all the regrets in my life, one of my biggest regrets was believing that bullshit. I did. I believed it. I believed the bullshit back then. I believed the idea that intelligent people who want to understand the world leave home and they leave it behind. We left our home behind to burn. We left our homes behind to be destroyed. That is what we did when we left home. We left home because we believed a lie. We believed bullshit. And now we are millions, excuse me, around the world, billions of people who no longer have any real authentic connection to community. Do you think that was fucking accidental? Do you think that was fucking random? You want to know why nobody is doing anything? You want to know why currently human liberty is being ground into dust? Because you left home. You believed, you participated in this diaspora, and I'm going to call it a diaspora, or maybe an exile, or maybe it's both. We had connections to people. They weren't perfect. We had families. They weren't perfect. We had a small town. It wasn't perfect, but it was home. Now what the fuck do you have? Your culture tells you small town mentality is restricted mentality. I live in Seattle. I live in a prison camp. Please tell me about the restricted, limited world of the small town. I'm surrounded by zombies who wear masks. I am in a place of pure dystopia. Please tell me about how shitty that small town life was. Yeah, that's what I was told, you know. Back in the 80s, back in the late 80s, I was told that smart young men and women leave the town, they go to college, they never come home. Maybe they come home for a 10-year reunion and they brag to their friends about how rich and successful they are. But in reality, that's bullshit too. I look around Seattle and I see every fucking thing they told me was terrible about the small town. I looked around Indianapolis in 2014 and I saw everything they told me was terrible. I've been to Chicago. I've seen everything they told me was terrible about the small town. It turns out the small town became a refuge for somebody, just not us. So please tell me again. By 1993, 5 years after I left high school, about the time I finished my first shitty degree from the University of Washington, man, I wish I could have my money back. Because I basically paid money to be lied to. Yeah. Yeah. When you meditate on student loans, you need to meditate on the fact that people were fucked in every fucking direction. When you ask yourself about bailouts, understand this. The current debt overhang of the human race will never be paid off. The stock market being north of 30,000 is bullshit. If you believe this shit, you are currently in a confused mental state. And if you still lived in that small town where there were people that had authentic connections to you and gave a shit, somebody might pull you aside and say you're drunk. But you're not drunk. You're perfectly sober. If you still lived in that small town, someone might pull you aside and say, "What's wrong?" But there's no one like that. Don't worry, you'll get gaslit today on Facebook or Twitter by somebody you don't fucking know. Don't worry about that, though. Just make sure you leave the small town behind. No, it's bullshit. I have many, many regrets. You shouldn't live in regrets. But you know what? 2020 and 2021, these are good years to remember our mistakes so we don't fucking make the same mistake again. The decision on the part of this system, our system, to push young people out of the small towns, especially in Washington State, was a deliberate decision. The culture, the philosophy, the movies, the TV shows, all of this was on purpose. If you think it was accidental, you are still living in a fantasy land. Imagine if instead of leaving our small towns, we'd stayed behind. Imagine if instead of going to college to be basically lied to, and what's worse, to pay people to fucking lie to you, what if instead we'd simply studied those books at home? What if instead we'd cared about our own community where we were born? Oh, damn, that small town thinking. Really? As small town thinking is a bunch of fucking idiots running up and down 12th Avenue with covers over their faces so they can't breathe? Is that the small town thinking you're worried about? Or how about we can't put on the high school dance bullshit? You think there are any quote-unquote legitimate high school dances happening right now, Mr. and Mrs. Big Town? Mr. and Mrs. International Bullshit? I was told you leave the small town to be successful. What I have learned is of the many fucking lies I was told, that was one of the biggest fucking lies. You leave the small town to abandon your community. You leave the small town so that barbarians and others can take it for themselves. You leave the small town because evil told you so. That's why. And now, what are we living in here in the United States of America? A giant 3D version of Footloose. Except for there's no fucking Kevin Bacon to take us across the county line to have our dance, because there ain't no fucking county line, because there's no way to escape this fuck. So yeah, make sure you leave the small town. Get out of the small town, really. Escape from that place, you have to. You have to get away soon. You have to run away. Next topic. Next topic. You can freeze-dry flies, you know. You can take the common house fly that lingers in this world of ours. It's a survivor, like the cockroach, like the crow, like the bungus beasts that collect the grease off the streets. You can capture the house flies and you can freeze-dry them. You take your freeze-dried flies and you crush them and you grind them into a soup mix. It's tasty and tangy. It'll keep you alive, maybe. Those flies have protein, right? They must contain minerals and vitamins. We will be gnawing on plastic pretty soon because recently I read an article that says they want to convert plastic into food. So we will be grabbing plastic off the ground, we will be digging it up, and we'll be gnawing on it. We'll gnaw on the plastic. But once we're done with the plastic, we'll have to move on to the crinkle chili. The crinkle chili that contains the debris that falls off of the animal which is now your broken spirit. Your broken spirit which has been ground to dust. Why? Because you left town, now you get to eat the flies. And what about the Bustin' Nut barbecue? You'll run out of that too. You'll run out of the raccoons and the squirrels. You'll run out of the things you can easily eat and convince yourself they kind of taste like Taco Bell. Keto Taco Bell. Yeah. But remember, because this will be critical, okay? In the weeks or months or years to come, the one thing you'll have plenty of for a while are flies. And you can capture these flies, and you can breed these flies, and you can crush them up and make them into your nutritional soup mix. In fact, there's a good chance that that soup mix pack you got with those noodles that are mostly post-recycled, post-digestible, post-modern sawdust noodles, really. That soup mix pack that you got from someplace in the southeast area that no one wants to identify because currently, yeah, they're sacrificing humans to meet us. You can take that soup mix and its dried flies too. And I can tell you that final supper you have before you go all the way, before you decide to either just go and disappear, or you decide to become the true beast, the beast that cracks open the bones to suckle upon the marrow, that last meal you get to have will be a meal of dried fly soup. And you will be wondering to yourself, why the fuck did you ever leave that small town? Yeah, I don't know, guys. So my friend Jim, who is, among many other people, more knowledgeable of the Bible than I am. He often mentions stuff that's Bible related. I know that the book of Daniel has come up a few times, and the other day I had this weird, random, funny thought. It's not funny, and it's not like, it doesn't perfectly align. But if you've ever seen that, I think it's 1987 film, The Running Man, with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And at one point, the announcer dude is talking about three winners of the grand prize of the Running Man: Whitman, Price, and Haddad. Whitman, Price, and Haddad. They're the winners. They won. They survived. But did they really? Did they really? Not really. But in the book of Daniel, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I just had this horrible thought the other day, like, what if you took that commercial? And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they survived the oven, unlike Whitman, Price, and Hadad. I don't even know if I should think this is funny. It's not that funny. But imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're fine. They're just baking in the Maui sun. Yeah, okay, Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, they do live. So that's the big difference. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are protected. Whitman, Price, and Hadad, they're no longer with us. So that's your recap of the film, The Running Man. The most relevant part, right? For someone who's gone crazy like myself, and I have gone crazy, I've gone completely, totally insane. I don't know. I'm not sure how much longer I want to do this particular podcast this morning, but I figured I wanted to get caught up and say hello. Feel-good story of the morning, though. Let's read a feel-good story. Dateline, January the 13th, 2021. Headline, "Is his purpose to intimidate or show off, colon, Palmetto Bay resident drives military-style tank through residential streets." Good for you, fucker. This article's by Joan Murray, and it was on Miami CBS Local, which really is just another propaganda, but let's read the propaganda story. What the fuck? Residents of the usually quiet South Florida community of Palmetto Bay are buzzing after spotting one of their neighbors riding his military-style tank down residential roads. Many were confused by the sight and wondered if it's even allowed, if it's even allowed, and apparently it is. Folks, what the fuck happened to this country? Folks were standing by the side of the street and wondering how anybody. When I was a kid, if a dude drove a tank down the street, kids would be outside, so would the dads, the moms probably too. Everybody would be like, "Wow, that's cool." Now it's, "Oh my God, our neighbor has a tank." But cool, we have tanks in Syria killing people so we can steal their oil. Please focus your brain case on this bullshit. Apparently, it is. The tanks belong to the person who lives on a gated property off Old Cutler Road. Well, that's ominous, isn't it? Despite the fact that the tank is legal, it's too close for comfort for some neighbors. Holy shit, neighbors. Get the fuck ready for what's coming, you dumb fucks. In fact, in a few months, when you're being dragged out of your home at 2 a.m. to get tested, at those moments when you're watching your children getting taken away, I wonder what you'll think of that neighbor and his tank then. I don't know, man, but I'm thinking you might want it, or you just don't give a fuck about your own life or your family. Either is possible in this dystopia of bullshit. Yeah, despite the fact that the tank is legal, it's too close for comfort for some neighbors. Wow. These are the same motherfuckers who get drunk off their asses, drive their SUV at 100 miles an hour, hit somebody, hire a lawyer, and then convince people that they'll be okay once they get sober. Well, yeah, maybe, but you still killed somebody, you stupid fuck. And I quote, "For the most part, it is unusual to say the very least, and with the present state of politics, it's concerning," said resident James Woodard. "Tanks have been around for more than 100 years, but usually you see them on the battlefield." Yeah, a lot of families in the Persian Gulf know this story very well, and in, various parts of the Middle East. A quick check on the internet reveals sites selling the heavy-duty machinery, sometimes for hundreds of thousands of dollars. The tanks in Palmetto Bay, CBS4 News was told, are British grade. Well, that's good news. That means they only work half the time. If they're French, they only work one-third of the time. If they're German, they work all the time. Yeah. CBS 4 News tried to speak to the owner of the property, but was told through a security speaker at the gate that nobody was there to talk about it. Wow. You know what, dude? I would have driven that tank right out there. I would have driven over their van. And shit, I hope you have ordnance for that cannon, you fuck. And a trusty gunner. That's your feel-good news story. Do you feel better about any of this bullshit at this point? So, I wrote a crappy essay the other day. I don't really want to talk about it. But the subject is rather simple. I am of the opinion that there are many ecological catastrophes in my own part of the world, in my Washington state. The Duwamish River is an ecological catastrophe. Now, of course, the EPA will tell you, well, Dan, it's a Superfund site. That's just a label. That means you don't have to fucking do anything but hand out pieces of paper to people that recently immigrated, make sure it's in the languages they can understand so they don't eat the poison crab. That's the solution of the EPA and King County and Seattle. The solution to the fact that they have a poisonous river is hand out flyers. And Lake Washington at this point, probably the bottom of that motherfucker is about 6 feet of poison. And you know what? I'm just getting started. The Puget Sound is probably damaged to a great extent. The orcas are not having babies. The orcas are leaving or dying for a reason, and they are not the canary, dumb fuck. The closest thing you have to a canary in the Puget Sound are the salmon, dumb fuck. And frankly, they're more like the fucking orca. They're the fucking swan song. They're the fat lady. The canaries are gone. The Pacific Ocean is becoming one dead zone after another. And yeah, there's still stuff in there living. Who knows how much and for how long? Now, the solution for a lot of people is, well, damn, then what you're saying is we need more government. Actually, that's what got us into this fucking mess in the first place. The true human ecology is freedom. It has never been to live in a prison. You put people in a prison, and what you're going to get are fucking animals. You're not going to have intelligent people. They won't be solving problems. They will fuck, and they will feast, and they will poop until whatever chunk of land that prison was built on is poisoned and salted beyond repair. That is what government does with people. They stack them, they pack them, and they destroy whatever's around them. And then they convince you, oh, but we're going to help, Dan. We're going to hand out flyers. We'll hand out flyers, Dan. We'll tell the recent immigrants not to eat the crab. We'll tell the recent immigrants not to eat the flounder. But what if instead we lived in a free world? Or rather, what if we lived in a world where people could make cooperative, intelligent choices without being coerced or threatening each other? Imagine, put on your imagination helmet. And imagine people could solve problems without threatening each other physically. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm asking you to pretend that you live in a free world or a freer world, and that the closest thing you can get to is that small town you fled in 1987. Then focus on that. Imagine you lived in a world where people could solve problems without threatening each other. And then ask yourself this, why not take a disaster? Like the Duwamish, like fucking Hanford, which is just a giant poison bomb waiting to pollute the Columbia, what isn't, polluted. What if you could take all these fucking disasters, giant underground tire fires, huge radioactive wastelands, Fukushima, fucking Fukushima, The giant plastic island. I don't know if there's a giant island of plastic in the Pacific, but I do believe there's a lot of garbage and a lot more masks and rubber gloves, dumbass. Yeah. Lot of fucking masks and rubber gloves are filling up the oceans. Is that good news or bad news, dumbass? If you're one of these COVID freaks, what is it? Is it good or bad? Because I'm hearing the construction outside my window that never stops. So please tell me about the fucking pandemic. Oh, but Dan, they're wearing magical masks. Eh, sort of. But those masks don't actually do anything, and they sure as shit aren't social distancing. So what the fuck? Tell me, great scientist of the future, how the fuck does construction just keep going? Are they magical? Is it the crystal meth they consume? Maybe the secret's in the crystal. Maybe the key to survival is in the crystal meth. I don't know, guys. I have run out of topics. I was going to talk about a stupid show. Anyways, no, before I go on. Anyways, the idea is simple. What if communities like Seattle, like King County generally, like the United States, could provide for something I would call an ecological privateer? And what would an ecological privateer be? Well, they wouldn't be a privateer akin to the privateering pirates that were authorized by government in the 17th and 18th and even 19th century. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I mean engineers, scientists, activists, people who care about nature, being given ownership and control over something that wretched city, that wretched government, that wretched group of bullies abandoned, like the Duwamish. Here's the deal for the ecological privateer. You give me that portion of the Duwamish River, and if it's the whole river, you give me the whole thing, and this is what you'll get in return. You will get a river that is healthy again. We will clean up the toxic gumbus that is turning the crabs into monsters. We will return that river to a state that would be as close as possible to the natural state before government and central banks and a lot of fuckers told you to go away from home and not give a fuck and go to Michigan or California, so when you finally come back to Washington State, they got a flyer for you telling you don't eat the fucking crab. Back to that time. Maybe it's 75, maybe it's 1965. Let's pick 1970. That's the year I was born, fucker. But Dan, we can't do that. You see, this is what's so great about stupid fucking voters and status and slaves. They would rather die of cancer than recognize the possibility that their system doesn't work. You could take all the garbage in the oceans and you could build artificial islands from it. And those islands could actually do the opposite of harming marine life. They could promote it. They could provide shade and cover for an ozone layer that, yeah, they've been lying to you about that one too, really. The ozone layer. They could provide shade and cover. They could provide habitats. The garbage could be turned into something good, but why doesn't it happen? Because ordinary people have no fucking right to fix the world. First you have to vote, first you have to form a gang, then you gotta get cops on your side so they can kill people, and then you can clean things up. Do I have it about right? But imagine inside your imagination helmet that you lived in a free world, or at least a freer world, a world maybe more like 1970. But people were honest about things and truthful, and they said, you know what? We fucked up the Duwamish. We fucked up Fukushima. We got a giant garbage island spinning in the Pacific. All it does is wreak havoc. We will give you, okay, some right, some leasehold for 1,000 years, maybe 10,000. We will give you that property with one requirement, that you clean it the fuck up. That you take that open wound, that insult to the ecosystem, and you fix it. Now, let me tell you how this story turns out. Okay? We don't live in that world. If a group of people were given the Duwamish to clean up, chances are, you know, if these were the types of people that I associate with, they would clean it up faster than expected, it would be better than expected, and then 10 years later, some motherfucker would say, well, we need to vote on the Duwamish. Well, you know, I was out there swimming with my kids the other day, and we thought, why do these people get to be stewards, you know? I mean, sure, if my kids and I went swimming in it, you know, years ago, we would go home and slowly die, but, you know, now that it's clean, can we get some cops together? That's what would happen. That's what would happen, folks. Somebody would clean the garbage out of the oceans, build beautiful artificial islands. Life would get a chance to rebuild itself. The oceans would start to heal, and then whammo blammo, you would have the U.S. Navy or the Chinese Navy or the fucking French Navy or whatever the fuck the British Navy's going to be at that point in time. And they would invade these islands and take them over and put missiles on them and then poop and poison and destroy just like before. That's probably what would happen in the halfway world, in the world where we had enough freedom to make promises, but not enough courage or principle to keep them. That sounds like an America I know about. If you don't trust me, ask those natives that are buried deep in the plains of the Midwest. I'm sure they would tell you if their ghosts could come awake. The white man does not keep his treaties. So if you decided to clean up the Duwamish, if you decided to clean up Hanford, if you decided to fucking stop that terrible underground fire that once it hits radioactive waste will blow a giant poison cloud into the sky, if you do the right thing, make no mistake. Voters, Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, the status motherfuckers will beat you over the head. If you actually attempt to do the right thing in this wretched prison society, the only outcome is going to be you will be punched in the stomach and left bleeding in the alley, probably to die. So forget that bullshit. The fact is, we're probably poisoning ourselves to death. The extinction level event, the decision that government was a great idea and more is better. That's what killed us. That's what is killing us. Yes, it's about central banks and giant credit cards, but those credit cards don't work unless you have a fucking army, asshole. And guess what? The credit cards help you buy the fucking army, asshole. You see how that's all Ouroboros and shit? Yeah, the snake eating its tail. Imagine, for a moment, if instead of leaving home back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or early aughts, imagine if instead of leaving that town, that small town, with small people, imagine if you'd stayed there. Imagine if you'd taken that job or fought for that principle, or instead of just giving up everything, you had fought back. Imagine if principle had won out over desire. Imagine. Imagine if honesty had won out over mystification. Imagine. We could live in a different world. It would just take a change in awareness. We could live in a world that is peaceful and prosperous and a hell of a lot fucking cleaner. This bizarro land, this dystopia, this hellhole, this is what you want on some level. Otherwise, why the fuck are you participating with it? Why? If you don't want it. There are billions of us. There are very few of them. And when I say them, I mean the people that believe they run the world. I say believe because that's a fiction too. Just like Lucifer thinks he has, you know, power. Any power that Lucifer has, the Lord in heaven gave him, you know. Lucifer will tell you, I've got power, I have influence, I have ideas, I can make you a king or a queen. Lucifer will tell the Lord Jesus himself, Jesus, buddy, I can give you all the kingdoms you see. Every kingdom as far as your eyes can see and further. And what does Jesus say? To paraphrase, he looks at Lucifer and says, you know, Lucifer, that's a really great offer, but I think you're trying to sell me the Golden Gate Bridge, buddy. And of course, they exist outside of time, so they know what that is, you know. Like I said, brothers and sisters, when I was a kid, they told me that small town people ended up in small town places. When I first went home from high school in 1980, excuse me, went home from college. Wow, that's a Freudian slip of truth. When I first went home from college in 1989, and let's be more precise, maybe autumn semester, 1988, the year of my graduation from high school. In those brief months, that town already looked different. By the time I was commissioned in 1996, that town was completely different. It was no longer Mount Vernon, it was someplace else. It was as if I had been taken forward in time to a place where every place looks like a giant mall. In fact, when I looked around Western Washington in 1996, it looked to me like the whole fucking thing was going to be one giant mall. And then came the internet, and thankfully the giant mall really never happened. There was an attempt, and malls were built, but they were never connected or networked, so they never achieved total consciousness. But then there was the internet, and the internet was going to free us. It was going to free us from our small minds and our small mentalities and make it so much easier to break out of the small town that you came from. The community, where people knew who you were. There were people there who were there when you were born. There were people there that knew your parents, good and bad, right and wrong. If you're wondering, what about the bad experiences in small town? Please see life today in the city. Whatever shit you think you ran from there, the shit is piling deep in the cities now, literally, figuratively. Mass and mass of shit and shit. Tell me again about the small-mindedness of the small town. I walk around Seattle, and I have never seen smaller minds. So please, tell me about the small minds of the small town. At some point in the near future, I don't know when, I'll probably end up dead. Killed by some stranger I never knew. At that moment, I'll ask myself, well, shit, I'm sure glad I left the small town.